Daniel chapter 1. Find that and then get to Exodus chapter number 3. Daniel chapter 1. I asked Pastor Fryman if it was okay. He did a phenomenal job the last two messages. But there was something I just feel like the Lord wanted me to tack on to that. And I think it'll help you as we get started. I think, I know you've heard this said, but I think I'm going to be short tonight. I don't think much, but I think I'm going to be a little bit shorter tonight. You guys, I must say, the Spirit has been really good. I told my wife Monday night at orientation, I just sensed a good spirit. Now let me say this, with a good spirit, another spirit starts to filter in. He doesn't like what's happening in this place. He doesn't like when the Word of God is being presented. He didn't like a lot of you all serving today. It was fun for me. I know it was chaos to me. But to see you all going to do this and preaching and singing, all for Jesus, it's a good thing. So I want to commend you for coming. I've been at 22 Empowered Youths. And I have seen some people that are pastors that were teenagers at Empowered Youth a long time ago bringing people. And it's a real joy to see that. It's, for me, it's a privilege to try to serve you this week. And many of you have jumped in and said, hey, can you help with this? And it's just been good. It's been a good serving spirit. You've been tuned into the preaching. It's been good. I don't want to mess it up. That's what I'm worried about. I almost started preaching in the back. Because some of you guys aren't under the spot where the glory comes out. I almost went back there. So I'll just have you turn around. But let me encourage you. I know we're packed. But try to get down front. I told my boys this morning at Family Devotions, get down front. It's real close to the altar. Just get there. You don't have to worry about who's looking, who sees you go down. You're there right away. It's a good thing. Make a decision for God. We just sang about it. Let me encourage you to do that. Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now get this. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. We emphasize Daniel and his three friends in the palace. But as I was listening to him preach, and my mind kept drifting up to these verses, they came to Babylon already like this. They were prepared before they got to Babylon. And as I was sitting there thinking, I thought, some of you guys have come from super churches. Super families. And in your mind, you're like, my parents just won't leave us alone. They say, you got to do this and you got to serve and we're going to keep you holy and our house is going to be holy. And you've got a whole lot of preparation because at some point you're going into Babylon. And here's kids. And if I could say it this way, they were prepared for the all out attack. And some of you, if God's just blessed you with certain things, some special churches, special families, there's a reason for it. I don't know that reason. But they came to Babylon road ready. And my challenge is to you, don't throw the stuff away that you've been handed. To whom much is given, help me out, much more shall be required. We're a blessed people. I am blessed. By God's grace, it's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. When I was 16, I'll get into this in just a little bit. I don't even know if I'll get to my points tonight, but you just bear with me. Because I do want to keep it short. You guys have done super. But I'm going to ask you to do this as we get started. I'm going to ask you if you could bow your heads and close your eyes just for a minute. I'm going to ask you to be completely honest. Nobody's looking around. Pastors, I really don't care if you are looking. It's your youth group and so forth. But would you be honest with me tonight, young people? Even college students? I'm going to ask a couple questions. First of all, if you're saved tonight, would you lift up your hand? Keep them up. I want you to be completely honest with me. Okay, put your hands down. Can I ask this? I know we do this normally at the end of the service, but I want to know who I'm preaching to tonight. Who will honestly say, nobody's looking around except pastors, leaders, that's fine, again, they're your kids. Who would be honest enough to say, Brother Amos, I'm not saved. I've been struggling with this. I've been worried about what people are going to think. I'll be honest with you, Brother Amos. I'm going to lift my hand tonight and say, I'm not saved. Is there anyone in this building tonight that says, I'm not saved? I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not sure about heaven. Could I see your hand? Anybody at all? Thank you. I see the hand. You can put it down. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else? Lift it up. That's a good thing to know that you're saved. Okay? Second question is this. Third question, I guess I should say. Who is willing, listen close to the question, and I want you to be honest, who is willing to do, and I have this in all caps, anything for the Lord? Could I see your hand? Be honest, don't just... Thank you for your honesty. Put it down. Tough questions. I'm trying to keep it to where it's not a visible thing because I'm not going to do that to you tonight. That's not my desire. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Let me ask this. Who is not willing to do anything for the Lord? Who is not? Put your hands up. I've got some honest people here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down. That's why I like preaching to teenagers. Because they're normally pretty honest with you. And I appreciate that. That's tough. Some tough questions there. I want to preach to everyone tonight and take that question with you as we go through this. I want to be a help. I want to be an encouragement to you. Let's pray. God, my heart's been stirred through the preaching. There are things that I have heard this week that have challenged me, that have corrected me, that have helped me. I'm asking that you would speak to our hearts tonight. I do believe we can get through this with your help in a short manner, timely manner. I just want to be a blessing. I'm asking that you would speak to all of our hearts. Let us leave here tonight knowing that you met with us. I'm thrilled to be a small part of what's going on here. And I pray that we would all grow together. We would all take one step forward for you this week. And then go back home to our places and begin to see God really work in our lives. It's not just about here, it's about there. So I pray that you use this time. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I have never served in our armed forces, but obviously I'm very thankful for those that have. I appreciate our country. I love our country. So when themes like this come up, I get excited about it, but I really don't know a whole lot to say, like our resident soldier that's come up and told you these stories and lessons he's learned, because he's been through it. I don't know the language, military language. I don't want to know some of the language that's there. The formalities, the purpose of everything that goes on in the training. But I do understand this. Before anything happens, as far as those that are specialists and as the progression goes, there must be a time of basic training, boot camp. Pretty simple. We've heard some things about that. Fighting, it's interesting. I was reading some articles. War and fighting over the last 5,500 years. This was kind of amazing to me. Over the last 5,500 years, there has been less than 300 years of peace. That's a lot of years of battle, a lot of fighting. When you read the scriptures, you find battle after battle after battle. There's just a constant flow of action and activity. It's just packed with conquest and prisoners and stories and things like that. In our devotional book, if you read that, there's the excerpts from the speech by that commander. Just some basic things. How to make your bed. I got a hunch there's some in here that still don't. We won't have an invitation right now. How to dress. how to walk, how to scream. Really, how to do everything. And I think what they're trying to do in a sense, no matter how you used to do it, you're going to do it our way. And that's for you to have been in the military. You understand that. We appreciate the product. Stay with me. But we don't like the process. I think every guy would say, I want to marry a right girl. I want to do it right. I want to raise a good family. I want to serve Jesus. The majority of hands that were raised today says, I will do anything for God. We like the product. But watch me close. There's a lot involved in the process to get that product. I want to be holy in my life, so guess what I got to do? There's some things I have to say, no, 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 yes, 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 yes. That's part of the process. I like Twinkies. I didn't say I had Twinkies. I said I like Twinkies, Brother Ferguson. So if I want to go eat Twinkies, I'm going to go to a factory that makes Twinkies, because what's going to happen is they're going to have this process. I'm waiting at the end to get my Hostess Twinkie, unwrap it, eat it. I'm not going to go to the licorice factory. Makes sense? And so you say, I want a holy life. I want to be clean. I want to have the right friends. You got to go to the right place. And this is a good place to start. And your local churches is a good place to start. It's better to go more than once. You might get four times where you get to learn the process. You with me? And I'm already away from my notes. But we learn these things, and money is invested in the process of training and conquering and really killing for our safety, if I can say it that way. And so, because I didn't really know a whole lot about Army, I went to a recruiting station last week. Some of these mouse pads and lanyards. I just went over there. I sat outside the recruiting station and looked at all their posters. I went inside and I talked to some of the recruiters and I asked some questions just for this night. So I kind of want to know what you tell kids when they come in to encourage them to join the military. On top of the building there in Valparaiso, it didn't say Armed Forces Recruiting Center. It said Career Recruiting Center. And what they told me is they emphasize the benefits. This is what the military can do for you. And they talk about all the good things. And I noticed on the posters, there were some really cool pictures. Guys like rappelling down, they got the gear, and I'm like, I kind of wanted to sign up right there. It's interesting, and I'm not trying to be mean, but they don't normally on those posters show guys with missing legs. They don't show them these post military adventures that they go. They don't show what's going on in their family and some of the medical things that they deal with. You know why they're trying to recruit. And they're going to tell you all the good, say this is this and that and so forth. And I get all that. But tonight, in a sense, what I'm trying to do, I'm recruiting. But the Word of God gives you the truth. It tells us those that stepped away from God's army. And it does tell you the end. God doesn't hold back. He's saying, hey, for those that don't join up in my army, let me show you what's going to happen to them. And those that do join up in his army, he does tell you, it's not going to be a cakewalk. I'm glad God is a God of truth. And he lays it out for us, says, you know what? If probably 50% of this crowd said, I am willing to do anything for God, that thrilled my soul. But anything means anything. And he might just tug on your heart tonight, Peter. Stay with me. He might tug on your heart tonight and say, I've got something for you. And you say, well, I raised my hand about anything, but I don't think it's going to be that. When Pastor Parrish came and says, hey, I'll volunteer to run the game, sign him up. Pastor Ferguson, I don't like leading songs. I don't like running games. So when they take it, he said, I'll do anything. You got it. Feel free. But that's the attitude we ought to have when it comes to the things of God. Amen. Pastor, I want to do anything. So I'm on a recruiting mission. We need some soldiers tonight. And yes, ladies, I'm talking to you too, so I'm not leaving you out. The problem is we have too many in the Secret Service. Out in Maryland, Virginia area, there's a building called NSA. And I've preached at a church in Odenton many times, and there are people that work at the NSA. And I've gone up to them and said, hey, where do you work? They say, NSA. I'm like, what do you do? We can't tell you. So then I'm like, I want to find out. I'm curious now. So I go to their wife. Hey, what does he do? She's like, I have no idea. Because it's kind of undercover. Now follow my illustration here. We need some folks to go into the service for the Lord. And I think it's a good thing that you just do whatever. People say, what do you do, Brother Amos? I don't even know if I have a title. I'm just like, whatever Pastor Darren wants me to do, sign me up. I'm not going to talk about it. But I would like for other people to say, you know, it's not a secret. He's just running all over. He's just doing whatever. He's not a secret service guy. You follow? And our desire is when you sign up, whatever Pastor Potter says at Pleasantville, hey, we need somebody to help us clean the bathroom. Sign me up. If there's a bus route to run, sign me up. If there's a Sunday school class, sign me up. Whatever God says, sign me up. And this is the beauty. Look here, teens. The beauty is you can do that. I have never built any type of a successful ministry. I've never pastored. I think about it, there's not a whole lot I've done. But you know what I've been able to do for a lot of years now? Fill holes. And it's actually pretty fun. It's a blessing to just, if somebody needs something, hey, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll clean that up. It's a good thing. And again, it's not for me to talk about it. For people to say, that guy's in the service of the Lord. I've got too many secret servants. Now I think, as I prayed about this, I think I'm talking to a group of young people that probably, and as of hands were raised, 99.9% said they know they're going to heaven. That's an awesome thing. You're a child of God. You that raised your hand and said you're not, I'd like you to get that taken care of tonight. Let's be 100% all in tonight. I'm talking to some probably, whether it be here, whether it be youth rallies near place, whether it be revival meetings, you probably have come to an altar. You said, I'm going to surrender. I don't doubt that. And I say amen to that. I'm talking to some that you probably have led people to the Lord through various means. Praise the Lord for that. I think there's a group of people that have a soft heart for God, which thrills me. But what I'd like to do is go a step further. Let's take the soft heart and move it to being a surrendered heart. The people of Israel were known for talking about God. This people draweth nigh to me with their lips. But the passage continues to say this, but their heart is far from me. Now, surrender is a military word. But it's not a Bible word. I looked it up. The word surrender, we sing about it. We talk about it. We say, I surrender all. Wait, but it is never found in the Bible. I clicked surrender, surrendered, surrendering. I came up with asunder and sunder, but nothing was surrender. But the principle is found throughout the pages of Scriptures. Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees. God said, move. He moved. Yes, sir. You go through even the animals in Scripture. Through the daily sacrificial system. And I know the sheep weren't out there like with their hooves. Oh! But they were led as a sheep to the slaughter. That's how our Savior was. The disciples surrendered to the call of Jesus as he said, follow me. The apostle Paul surrendered. He said very plainly, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm so thankful that our Savior surrendered as he prayed. Not my will, but thine be done. That's surrender. I think I have some young people here that have surrendered. Some that are close. some that are soft. But we get a little stubborn, don't we? Okay, you don't. I do. There's this thing called friendly fire that I've read about. What happens is others on my team, if I can put it simple, others on my team, I accidentally shoot and kill. But I think what's happened is because of our stubbornness, we've gotten to the point that friendly fire has become on purpose. I don't like that pastor. I know he's on my team. But we've gone so far as to do this on purpose. I'm so glad that God can use all of us. But we have to be surrendered. Abraham lied. Sarah laughed. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Jesus was from Nazareth. Even the disciples said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Praise the Lord, the only good thing came from Nazareth. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was depressed, almost suicidal. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist doubted Christ. Martha was a worrywart. Noah got drunk. I'm not advocating doing these things, but I am saying this. God can use us all. But we have to be surrendered. I'm glad God doesn't hire and fire like most bosses. He doesn't look at our financial gains or our loss. He's not prejudiced or partial nor deaf to our cry. He's not blind to our faults. We could do wonderful things for others and still not be wonderful ourselves. And when Satan says, you're not worthy, Jesus says, so what? I am. Satan looks back and sees our mistakes. God looks back and sees the cross. I'm so thankful that. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to get on the move here. Now, girls, I apologize. I have been criticized for putting this theme together. Mrs. Reinhardt, I'm not sure if she's in here. She's like, you always have military themes. Like killing people and cutting people's throats. Like, I kind of like it. I like when blood and guts are flowing. I mean, it's just when the smoke's billowing, the bombs are blowing, and that's just great. A good fight's enjoyable to me. And really, some girls can put on some pretty good fights once in a while. I remember I was in Mexico, I don't know, a year or two ago. I think my family was down in Mexico. And we saw these two ladies going at it. Just we were driving through and literally, the one girl grabbed, I don't know, kids, do you remember this, my kids? She grabbed a chunk of her hair. I mean, she had a chunk of her hair in her hand. I was like, yes! My wife and I got into a fight last week, and she went like this and grabbed a chunk of my eyebrow. No, I like action. I like going to churches where there's action. I like going to church to see buses coming in. Coming and going. I like to see people walk in the aisle. I like to see people serving. I like work parties. I was watching our teens Monday night. I have never seen a work party like that. Okay, it's like, okay, when you're done loading the tables and chairs and moving everything after dinner, you guys are going on the last bus to go roller skating. Like, we need to put roller skating at the end of everywhere party. They were done. I don't know what happened. I was like, we have revival in the gymnasium. Maybe we need to have our services there. But I love when everybody joins together and says, let's serve Jesus. We have 50-some churches here tonight represented here. Maybe 60. I don't know. But what if everybody went back? Everybody got excited. Everybody surrendered to the wishes and the desires of the pastor who God put there. And you know what happens? They say, let's join in. Some things would happen. And it could happen with teenagers, which is exciting to me. I purposely asked Brother and Mrs. Mitchell to sing the song they sang tonight. About 2 months ago, they sang at church. I scribbled a note in my little black notebook over there. And I put, I want them to sing the song tonight before I preach. I knew what I was going to preach on 2 months ago. And so I wrote it down. I said, I'm going to have them preach. And I was out candy selling. We do this little candy sell around here once in a while. And I was out there and I was in the car. And I thought, I need to make a note of that. I'm working on the schedules for the services. And so in my phone, I sent a text via email and I just said, Have the Mitchells sing "Take My Life and Let It Be," and I sent the text or sent the email back to myself in the office as I was working on some things. When I got back, I looked at the text, and this is what it said. I'm not joking. You know, you need to read your text. I didn't do that. But when I read that, I put this purposely in my notes because I thought, you know what, how true this is. This is what the text said. For the Wednesday night special, I would like the Mitchells to sing "Take My Life a Little Bit." I'm not joking. And right then, the Lord said, that's what a lot of people say. Okay, before I get negative. Right then, the Lord said, that's what you say sometimes, Eric. We know we're supposed to sing, "Take my life, whatever, my feet, my lips, my mouth, my hand, whatever," but just a little bit. Let's look at Moses real fast. Moses, we're looking in Exodus chapter 3. I love the story of Moses. Now, I understand he's beyond his teen years. But when he comes to the burning bush, I call it kind of his recruitment, his call to begin serving. I would have loved to live around the time of Moses. I would have loved to have been Moses, excluding all the people of Israel. Just leave the people out and just live the life of Moses. It would have been a great life. But wouldn't it have been fun to just watch the frogs bouncing around in Egypt? Andrew, remember that frog at the men's retreat? Andrew's totally messed up. But he's messing with frogs. But just to see him all over the land, lice, everybody, that would have been just fun to watch. Hailstones, really, God dismantling the nation of Egypt. That would have been pretty exciting. My imagination runs wild a little bit. Dawson, you with me? As they're taking a drink and it turns to blood. Okay. Moses had a pretty great life. Now, we want to live in the time where the plagues are, the crossing of the Red Sea, the water from the rock, all those type of things. But before anything could happen like that, Moses had to go through some recruiting things. I want to give you a couple of these here in just a minute. With the plagues, he saw the power of God. With the manna and the quail, he saw the provision of God. The water from the rock, he was awed. He had to be awed by the plenteousness of God. The fire, the pillar and the fire and the cloud, he had to be awed by the pathway of God. This theme, people were asking, what does that mean? Our desire is that you're prepared for whatever the devil brings. Air, land, sea, he's going to bring attacks to you. We shouldn't be, well, this is all I do. All I do is I go to church, I sit in the same pew, there's a little indentation of where I sit. It grows as time goes on. I've been at the same church, it's gotten a little bigger. That's where I puked when I was a child. But I'm a specialist in pew sitting. I don't think that's what God wants for us. I really don't. But here's my question, Pastor Parrish. I see all kinds of guys get stoked up about military recruiters. We're recruiting for the military. Yeah, I want to be a SEAL. I want whatever. Why not get recruited about my Redeemer? Hello, that didn't go over so well. We're enamored by the SEALs when we should be enamored with souls. Help me out. We get focused even on a place when it comes to training for ministry. I got to go to that place. How about just talk about the person of Christ? Amen. Let's just get excited about that. We talk about our worldly careers and we get excited. Why can't we get excited to talk about our wondrous Christ? Man, it's good. We get focused on being tuned in for comfort when we should be heeding the comforter. We can go on and on with that list. I had fun just putting some of those things together. But Moses, Exodus chapter 3. I told you I was going to get there. I'm not going to read the entire text, verses 1 through 15, we're not going to read it, but just a couple things I think were helpful as I was looking at this. Number one, in our basic training for surrender for the Lord, number one, what you need to do is take your shoes off. That sounds deep. Look at verse number 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Listen to me tonight. If you're going to do something for God, you've got to learn to get a good dose of humility before God. I find it interesting that when I go to any home, one of the first conversational pieces is, help me out. Some of you know where I'm going if you're following what's happening here. Should I or shouldn't I do what? I don't talk about their fancy car. We're walking in and I kind of have just this mindset of, should I or shouldn't I? So I ask the people whose home it is, and a lot of people are like, it's okay. But others are like, if you even think about it. But what that is really just showing a sign of, you're in charge, I'm not. They don't want what I have walked through tracked into their home. You with me? And when Moses is getting ready to stand before God, what God says is, take your shoes off, because when you enter the presence of God, he cannot look on sin. He doesn't want the things that we're tracking to come into his presence. So some of us just need to simply take off our shoes. I think in our society, it would be kind of take off our hat. You go into a building, I think it's just respectful to just take your hat off. You know, we have guys that can't do that. I get it if you're in the middle of a work party and you're doing different things. But when you walk into... We were at Brother Ferguson's church a while back. And my girls were... I don't know if their mom taught them this, but they were running around in the sanctuary. My wife's like an exercise buff, so I don't know if they were just trying to get into it or something, but they were running around and I was talking to somebody and I just kind of sit down. And then I just continued my conversation. And the guy I was talking to, Brother Larry, he's just looking at me like. The next night, he came back to the service. He's like, can I talk to you, Brother Amos? And I'd like to talk to your girls too. He's like, I was impressed that your girls listened. I'm like, well, it doesn't happen very often, so I was kind of impressed too. Sorry, girls. And he proceeded to hand them a $100 bill. My boys are like, can I meet him? But there's just something in me. When we come to God's house, we should be respectful. Sorry, I have a hard time when we're singing some of these songs and some of you just don't even sing. I get the fact there's some of you don't know, but I tried to pick songs this week that you do know so you don't even have to look at the book and you can just fake like you're enjoying it. I see other religions when they walk into their little temples, you know what they do? They remove their shoes. And they're not even worshiping a holy and true, powerful, almighty God. And we come in and we're carrying the filth. We can sit in here with our dirty thoughts and our sin. And we can even smile. We can sing a little bit. And God says, I don't want you in my presence. Take your shoes off. And what some of us, including myself, when we step into the sanctuary on Sunday morning, Sunday night, middle of the week, when there's revival meetings, it'd be good for us to pause right outside those doors and say, you know what? I'm going to take my shoes off. That's even Baptist Church's remodel. Brother Vandenberg showed me the picture today. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's beautiful. And I saw tan carpet. I'm like, oh. And I'm worried about what it's going to look like in 2 or 3 years. Because snow and all that stuff that... I just did these carpets. I don't know, in the summer, all the carpets. And when I was doing stuff, I saw Empowered Youth challenges, spots all over the front of this from the last 23 years, 50 years. But don't you want to be holy? Do you? And I understand we preach draw nigh to God, but you got to draw nigh to God with a pure heart. And when you do, He will draw nigh to you. But we have a pretty disrespectful world. And sad to say, it slipped into our churches. I think of the 42 children that were making fun of Elisha. Now, I kind of sympathize with Elisha. So if you call me bald head, look out for the bears. But I got a hunch. If those 42 children were, like, if it was an individual situation, they probably would have never responded that way. But they got together. They grouped together. And I found it's really easy to make fun and do wrong when you're in a group. But can I not be negative? Can I say it's also really easy in a group to do what's right? And I tell you what, I look around the groups, a lot of your churches I've been to, and really, frankly, I just love being around you guys. And I really love it when you get together and you just sing. Mr. Schreiber said on the way home, he's like, man, the bus from Chicago, I believe it was, they were just singing. It thrills us! But then we got to hear, you're by yourself. When I walked into the skating rink Monday night, I walked into a jam session. It's kind of a joke. Over the last couple of years, I've developed a relationship with the people at Skate World. And so I had my three fancy CDs in my hand. And they're like, all right, Eric, where's the Looney Tunes? Where's the music? And it's kind of a joke now. And there were a couple of teenage guys that said, you guys are about to hear some music tonight. And they're like, yeah. And then they're like carnival music. But there's nothing wrong with being holy. There's nothing wrong with being right. So listen, before you step into the ministry that God has for you, whether it be a bus route, just learn to take your shoes off. Is this deep? Are you with me? When Andrew Nicholson's awake, we're doing well. All right, so that's good. Everything about God is holy. This book, right on the binding here, you know what it says? Yours too. You can look down. His Spirit is called what? The Holy Spirit. When they sing around His throne, I believe He's just, just, just. I believe He's love, love, love. I believe He's merciful, merciful. But you know what they cry? It's very clear. It's the priority. He is holy. And the cry from Peter as he pens his epistle to the followers, he says, God says, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. I love being around holy young people. If you're going to be used by God, I'll tell you what, that's going to be something He looks for, is holiness. So take your shoes off. Number two, this is deep. Hide your face. Now we can go a couple different ways with that. Exodus 4, real quick. Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to give a couple of these points, some I won't elaborate on. I actually cut my sermon in half last night, and I was just not paying attention to time. 1:30, I'm like, ooh, I probably need to get to bed. And it was 18 pages. So I had to cut it in half a little bit even this afternoon. But look at chapter 4. And this was interesting. In verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. I'm sorry, I need to go down to... Let me see if it's back. Chapter 3. I got ahead of myself. Verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. We'll get to that one in just a little bit. So he takes his shoes off. Verse 6. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. It was almost as if he was both ashamed and afraid to look upon God. He wasn't afraid to look at the bush. But when he realized who was speaking to him out of the bush, are you seeing where I'm going with this? We have this idea we can look at the things of God and talk about the things of God, but if we would just find out the person of God, it should cause us in a simple way to hide our face and look away because we're ashamed at what we ought to be doing. When my kids are doing well in school, I see them sometimes in the middle of the day and Karis, she'll come up. That means around here you haven't gotten any demerits. That's a good thing. When they have 10, they rarely come and find me. You know what they do? They hide their face. They don't want to see me because we're not in fellowship mode then. When Adam sinned, guess what he did? He hid. And when we come into the presence of God, it'd be a good thing to lower ourselves. Some of you guys, when we're praying, you can't even bow your head. I've seen it. You say, you're looking. I'm just trying to watch and point out people, help people get to pray. But here's the point. Bow your head and close your eyes. You know what that is? It's respect. And we have lost respect in today's world. I was upset that you had stuff thrown at you today. Sorry. Something's wrong. I don't think we should be in a man worship in any way, but I tell you what, when there's an office of a pastor, a person that God has placed in that position, you better hide your face. You better say, you know what, I'm not worthy. But what we do is kind of like the Bible talks about that, in Jeremiah, excuse me, but the whore's forehead, no shame. Yeah, I sinned, I rebelled. Yeah, I'm looking at dirty stuff, and you're not even fazed. I go back. I've used this before, but I just feel like I need to say it. 16 years old I was. I was like the greatest punk in the world. If you want to learn how to be a punk, come see Eric Rams. I got all the facts. I got books about it. I got in trouble when I was 16. I got kicked out of Fairhaven Baptist Academy. I got kicked out of the youth group. I got kicked out of the wrestling team, blah, 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 blah. I was in the office, and they relayed some of those things to my father, and I stood there unmoved. Unmoved. And you know what? I wasn't really caring about hiding my face. But I'm so thankful that the mercy of God began to work and the grace of God began to work and the Holy Spirit began to work because I was his child, and that's what he does to his children. He stirs them, and it began to break this hard, cold, dead heart of mine. Yes, I was a Christian, but it was cold and it was hard and it was dead. And I'll never forget going to my room and I began to cry out for God, and I found that place. I had an encounter with God and said, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of pushing people away. I surrender. And after that, it was almost this idea of the publican. Lord, would you just be merciful to me, a sinner? Amen. But you know what? That's not how we are. We walk around, we prance around like we're God's gift to the world. I'm all for hard work. I'm all for being, in a sense, prideful of being able to be a hard worker. But I tell you what, when somebody comes and says, great job, just quickly deflect that praise to God. We need to hide our face. That's what Moses did. He's learning this basic training, if I can call it that, quickly. Let me give you a verse for that. The Bible says this in Psalm 36, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. It's repeated in the New Testament. There is no fear of God before their eyes in Romans chapter 3, verse 18. Let me give you one, maybe two more. The third thing, if we're in this boot camp, this training to prepare to do something for God, throw down your rod. Throw down your rod. Chapter 4, it says this, and Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hear my voice, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. You know, we need to get a good dose of humility when it comes to our recruiting. We need to get a good dose of the holiness of God and hiding our face. Here we need to get a good dose of the need. Listen to me. We need God's help. And some of us are comfortable with a little rod that we put together in our hand. We lead a few things. We're in charge of a few things. But when it comes to God calling us, guess what we have to do? We have to take the talents that we've developed. And I'm all for talents. I'm all for hard work. I'm all for skill. Not everything is a gift. I don't believe that. Some people have worked and worked. And I was trying to listen to as many competitions today. It was fun. It was enjoyable. But sometimes when God calls you, He's not worried about your work. He's worried about His work. And you got to take the rod. And He says, throw it on the ground. We know what happened. It became a serpent. Now it's interesting to me. Moses fled. That's what I would do. But when God called him to go back, he told him to do something a little bit different than we would think. When I see a snake on the ground, actually I just get out of there. I don't want to see it anymore. But when I see people handling snakes and dealing with snakes, I see them take some little stick or something and they put the stick over the snake's head. Push it down, and then, for whatever reason, they pick it up. But that's not what God told Moses to do. Because when you go and you put the stick down and you cut, you still have control. You're in control of the serpent, if I could say it that. You're still in control of your life. But He told Moses, pick it up by the tail. So when you pick it up by the tail, it was like those old plastic ones we used to get, and they'd kind of wind and they're coming back. It's like, oh! A real one? You pick it up and obviously it's going to turn and bite your hand, and you don't have, help me out, you don't have control. We are okay when God says, hey, I want you to surrender, and you come down here and you're stirred and you're challenged and you say, I will do anything for God. God says, all right, take your life and pick it up where you're not going to have control over it anymore. Right. Oh, now that becomes different. I want to take my life a little bit. God, you can have this, but not all of it. You with me tonight? When you throw your life down, it ought to scare you. What's God going to have me do? But there's also some joy in that. What's coming? What's He going to do? Throw your rod down. And we know, I'm not going to belabor the thought, but when He did, that rod became the rod of God in His hand. And when He stood over top of the Red Sea, again, we like the product. But He was willing to throw His rod down and say, I'm going to leave my comforts there on the in the desert there with my father-in-law, and I'm going to go do something for God. Get a good dose of the need for the help of God. Listen, some of you are going to make some decisions. It thrills me. But can I say this? You need God's help. I need God's help. I mess things up just about every day, sometimes several times a day. And you know what I do? I bang my head and say, what is wrong with me? I've been doing this for 30 some years. I still can't figure out the Christian life. You know why? Because I do it in my flesh. We need the help of God. Let me give you, I'm just going to list this one. The fourth one is hide your hands. Now that sounds interesting. And it's interesting that Moses never had to do this, but when he was after the serpent situation, the rod, God said, I want you to take your hand and stick it in your garment. And he did, and it came out leprous. We know the story. He put it back in. And I was thinking, what's the big deal? He never even had to use that in front of Pharaoh. The serpent thing was enough. But leprosy was known in those days as incurable. It was known as only something that gods could cure. The Egyptian understood. You remember the story of Naaman when Naaman went to the king of Israel and even the king of Israel said, am I a god? So there was an idea, mindset amongst the Jews as well as amongst the heathens that only God or a god could cure the disease of leprosy. And I think what God was trying to say, watch me close, I can help you in a hurry. Stick it in. Stick it back in.
We have a God that can clean you up right quick. When you need help, He can help you right quick. When you go to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins right quick. You have a problem with something in your mind. You have a problem with a friend. You can go to God. He'll forgive you. They may not, but He will. Saying Moses had to learn real quick as he was going to go into the ministry. He was going to, I need God's help and I need it right now. Let me give you the last one, as I already talked about with our resident soldier. Quit making excuses. I get tired of people making excuses. Why didn't you do that? Well, you sound like Elmer Fudd Christianity. Get over it. You didn't do it because you didn't do it. Well, she did this and they did that. Just get up and say, I can't speak. God said, who made your mouth? Now, so God gives them a fill-in. How did that go over? Not so well. Quit making excuses. Now, I told you to be short. I've got 3 minutes. What if you were encountered tonight on the way over to the dorm, a burning bush? I think it would kind of capture all of our attention, especially the 7th and 8th graders. On Monday morning, Mrs. Dameron came and she's like, I can tell there are guests here and I can tell there's 7th graders. They were hiding in the bushes. I'm like, okay, here we go. Welcome to Empowered Youth. It was my Utah 7th and 8th graders. Sorry, love you guys, not that much though. We go there, and obviously this is probably not going to happen. But God says, okay, I got a couple things I want you to do. We're going to start boot camp. Take your shoes off. It's cold, take your shoes off. The life that you have and the plans that you have, would you throw them on the ground and lose control? Are you willing to do that? Throw it on the ground. Hide your face. I'm not worthy to serve you, God. I'm not. I still don't know why He has asked me to serve. I have no idea why. But I tell you what, it's a great, great life. But here's my question. Are you ready to be disturbed? When I'm studying and my kids come in the house, I usually leave. You know why? Because they disturb me. They're playing the piano. They're playing their cello. They're playing the viola. They're just making noise. They're having a good time. I don't like to be disturbed. I'm doing my thing. But can I ask you, sometimes God's going to step in. He might disturb your life. Are you ready? Well, I've got this, I'm doing this, and I've got this plan. And God just comes in, not just, I'm here to disturb you. Joseph was disturbed. I mean, he was just walking along, going to check on his brothers. His life got messed up. David's quiet life as a shepherd, he was just out there to say, hey, I think you're going to be a king. And then for 10 years or so, he's running around for his life. He got disturbed. God is going to disturb some of you folks. He's going to get your attention, but He's going to, before you can do any of this all out attack, there's some basic training you have to deal with as a young person. Are you willing to live a holy life? There's a man by the name of Sir Francis Drake, and I've heard his prayer on one of those lamplighters or Gehentis, but I found the prayer of his, and this is what it says. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. Oof. I had to stop there. When our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little. When we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery. We're losing sight of land. We shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizon of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Amen. Some of you are just floating right along shore. All is well. Yeah, I'll serve Jesus. Take my life a little bit. I'll be honest. Sometimes I get a little too comfortable in my Christian life too. Oh, about a year ago, the Lord started working in our home, and can I say it, humanly speaking, it messed my life up. But when you obey God, there's been some amazing things that have happened. It's not the way I put it together, but what he did is he disturbed me. But it's good. And my challenge is tonight, I don't care if you're a seventh grader and God disturbs you, make it a big deal. Run to your pastor, your parents, your youth pastor's wife and say, God's disturbing me tonight. I'm ready to sign up. Amen. And you know what? Your friend next to you might kind of chuckle a little bit. Who cares? I've had all kinds of people send me messages this week. Praying for empowered youth. Praying for empowered youth. Some from your church. It gives you confidence. It gives you a little boldness to say, they have our six. But we've got to be willing to be disturbed. I have to be willing to be disturbed. The cheetah is fun to watch. They are fast. It's interesting. They can sprint 70 miles an hour. Titus, are you with me? This is for you. They can run 70 miles an hour. But the problem is they cannot sustain that pace very long. Because within its long, sleek body is a disproportionately small heart, which causes the cheetah to tire quickly. Unless the cheetah catches its prey in the first flurry, it must abandon the chase. And sometimes we're the same. We come home from empowered youth. Revival! And Sunday you won't be in church. I'll tell you why. Because you're soft to the things of God, but you're not surrendered to the things of God. And I really believe, I've prayed about this, I think we got great hearts here, but they're really, really tiny. But as we grow in the Lord, as we grow in the Word, the heart grows. And it gets stronger, and it gets stronger, and it beats harder. And you see a soul, and you get excited more about the soul than you do about a sports game. And you get excited about family getting right instead of phones, and I'm not even going to go there. And you get excited about the songs that we're singing instead of about whatever you guys like to listen to. I got moves. For Pastor Fryman, is he here or did he leave me hanging tonight? He left me hanging. Love you too, brother. I'm talking about hockey, so I found an illustration for him. Stan Mikita, professional hockey star, used to get in a lot of fights during the games. He stopped when his 8-year-old daughter asked a very grown-up question. How can you score goals when you're always in the penalty box, Daddy? And I thought it was funny. You know, I think a lot of you guys want to score some goals for Jesus, but you're always in trouble. This is deep. I'm done. Stop getting in trouble. Stop fighting the people who matter in your life. Join in the game. And actually, the game's way more fun than being in the penalty box. But I like isolation. You're a loser. Pastor Burke, is this good for your teenagers? Pastor Morrow? Pastor Wagner, do our teens need this? Hello? Nobody? I got a lady in the house. I can go around the building. Pastor Moody? You want some guys surrendered to God? Some young ladies surrendered to God? And sad to say, we've got a lot of ladies signing up. I'm not even going there. Moses got recruited. He had a pretty exciting life. And didn't even get to go in the promised land. But he had a lot of fun along the way. Sign up. But before you get into all the all-out attack, you got to go through boot camp. Hopefully the Lord stirred your heart as he has mine. I pray that it's going to be a blessing to you. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.